Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. Today is Thursday, August the 1st, and this summer is rapidly coming to an end. Today I have a very, very special guest on the Blog Talk Radio program. It is my good friend Nazreen Mohammadi. She is an Iranian human rights activist and author of an incredible book, Ideas and Lashes, The Story of Her Dear Late Brother, Akbar Mohammadi. I want to welcome you to the program this morning, Nazreen. Good morning.
Good morning, dear Randy, and good morning to all people that are listening to us.
Well, I want to thank you for taking out time to be my guest today, and we're going to be discussing the topic of Iran and, of course, your dear brother, Akbar Mohammadi, who lost his life in the fight for freedom more than 13 years ago on July 30th, 2006, and you have dedicated your life to being a voice for Iran and a voice for your dear brother, Akbar, and everything that he did in the struggle for freedom in Iran. So for many people who don't know a whole lot about you this morning, I want to introduce you, Nazreen, and tell us about yourself, and then let's talk about your brother, Akbar.
Okay. I am a doctoral student at Pepperdine University, and first I want to say I am a conservative Republican, and thank you, Randy, dear Randy, for giving me the chance to express myself to my concerns. And I want to say I came from a land where women are valued as a half of men, I came from a land where the testimony of two women are quality of the two as a one man. I came from a land where execution or torture become a culture for a government, and I came from a big jail named Iran. Thanks God, now I am enjoying the freedom of my new country, USA. And I worked, I was volunteer for as a campaign for our for a year for our President Donald Trump in Nevada, Las Vegas. I'm an honor as because I was volunteering over there. And now I am trying to finish my doctoral degree and doing anything to a speech and doing anything for our President Donald Trump.
That's fantastic, because I know you have been a dedicated ambassador for the Conservative Republican Party, and you have spent your time campaigning for Donald Trump and his reelection coming up in 2020. You mentioned several things there I want to talk about. Iran is one big prison. Iran is a place where democracy is dead and dictatorship is alive. And you lived in a country that devalued women. And today, women have no rights and no freedom in Iran. Since you've been American, though, you have never forgotten your people in Iran. You continue to stand up for their freedom as an Iranian American. And you are campaigning, I believe, for a president that loves the people of Iran and is doing everything he can to bring democracy and freedom to this land. Isn't that right?
Yes. I did always, and I always am doing, even I know I love Iran and I love Iranian people, and I will do anything to Iranian government and Islamic government of Iran to be overthrown. But after I escaped and ran from Iran, after regime did that worst thing to me and my family, and I lost my member of my family, that was my late brother, and took my family jail, and took my parents, and took my sister and brother, and I don't have a good memory of my family and me, and then I did not have a safe home in Iran, and I when I got here and escaped and ran from Iran, when I came to in United States, I got safe home in United States. I believe United States is my land. And after all of this happened to me, I believe United States is great home for me and safe home for me. And I believe I must serve in United States. And I have only wish that is to Iranian government should be overthrown, but I don't want to go back in Iran to live and then over there and to serve Iran. And I love to serve. I believe United States is my country, and I want to serve United States. I believe President Donald Trump is my government, my president. And I know he's going to be reelected, and this is my country, United States. And I came to United States, I peace this country, because in Iran I wasn't safe. But I will do anything to Iranian government be overthrown. I will do anything for Iranian people to safety back to Iran.
Amen. Amen. Now, it was a couple of years ago, Nazreen, that your parents were able to safely travel here and to begin a new life here. It was a few years ago that the Iranian government had forbidden them to leave Iran and come to America. But we stood up and we spoke out and we prayed. And just a few years ago, you had the most exciting day of your life when your parents were able to safely, once and for all, leave Iran and come to live here.
Yes, and then you also helped me, and you wrote a letter, and then many people helped my parents, and also you were one of them. You helped my parents.
And they are now in a land of freedom where you're with your parents and some of your other brothers. And this is the place where you want to grow and to live out your dreams and to continue being a voice for Iranians.
Yes, of course. I want to stay in the United States, and then I can be a voice for them. But as also I mentioned, I never want to back to Iran, to live in Iran, but might be after Islamic government of Iran be overthrew, just back to over there to visit my family, second my cousin and my family, and to visit in Iran for a short time, not to live in over there. I never want to live in over there because I don't have a good memory in Iran. Regime took my brother and took, and I never had a good memory in over there. And this is United States is my country. This is, and I promise myself I'm going to serve in United States.
I wanted to spend a little time talking about your brother. I know this is very painful for you to do, but what your brother stood for is so important. It has been now 13 years since you received the horrible news that he had been tortured and killed in Evin prison. But Akbar wrote a very powerful poem I wanted to quote, and then I wanted to ask you to talk about him a little bit. Akbar wrote, "The light of injustice will not burn forever. If it burns one night, its fire will be extinguished tomorrow. How long will sorrow be the joy of my existence? Much sin has been committed in your name, O freedom, on the threshold of execution gallows, torture rack, and prison. They drink wine and raise their glasses in your name, O freedom. The dark nights are over, my friend, and we will see the dawn when the sun rises on the edge of freedom." This is a very special poem that your brother wrote while he was in prison.
Yes.
Share with us your memories of him.
I have a lot of memory with him. Akbar was my great brother, and he was always helping me, and in my life he was a good advisor. He was a real human person. He always helping other people, and he was a great person. He was a follower of Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela. He was a true. I don't know when I want to talk about him. I honor Akbar for following his path, and then I always pursue his dream. And I have a message to people, American and European people, to help and all world to help our to support only wish to read his book, because Akbar was savagely tortured and tortured by Islamic government of Iran. He wanted the world to know that what is really going on in this prison of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He felt like a 10-story building fall on me. My eyes went. He said my eyes was black for a short while. It felt like a train hit me. Akbar he said a lot of in this book is a lot of pain story in wrote in this book. He wanted this book so all people read it. It's very painful. It's tragedy, but it's true story about what the regime did to him and the regime did to all students, and then the regime and I don't know.
Well, I wanted to just say
Akbar's wish. Secondly, I want the world is know that what is really is going on in Iran and inside of the prison of the Islamic regime. In this book, Ideas on Lashes, Akbar is talking about his days in prison and how he was captured and the torture.
Yes, I wanted to mention that Akbar was imprisoned in an Evin prison. He was part of a pro-democracy movement in 1999. It was a student uprising. But while he was in prison, he kept a diary of everything that was happening to him. And it was from that diary that you wrote your book, Ideas and Lashes.
Yeah. Akbar was political and human rights activist. He couldn't stand the injustice. On 9th of July 1999, Iranian students, as we know, Iranian, everybody, I think they know, on 9th of July 1999, the big, huge rally went happen, student movement happened. Iranian student on Tehran University had the biggest rally ever. After the revolution revolution 1979 happened, the biggest rally was 1999 happened, and mm-hmm. he was the one of the main organization. He was arrested with my brother Manucher and with other a few students, and regime arrested them. And then took them to jail, and then tortured them, and then savagely under torture, kill him. And even though Akbar believed he was very strong guy, and he never under torture. Cried, you read the book, you know. And when September 9/11 happened, he mentioned when the even regime tortured him, he never cried. When 9 September 11 happened, he cried and he couldn't when his tears came, and he couldn't stop crying. And he felt his heart is very heavy, and a lot of he felt very sad. And he, that time, his tears came out, and then he felt very condolence, and then with American people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In the book, Ideas and Lashes, Akbar describes these long, grueling hours of interrogations, repeated questions, demand for answers, and even when he told the truth, the interrogators would beat the bottom of his bare feet with steel cables until he passed out. And he endured daily floggings with no medical treatment and very little sleep between these interrogations. This was the daily routine for your brother, as he describes in his diary, right?
Yes. Yes, they were. They tortured him a lot, and then after they tortured him, yes, they tortured him a lot. But he resisted a lot. What is your question exactly? What do you
well,
want to
I,
know
I was
about?
Just... Your brother refused to reveal the names of the other students in the demonstration.
Yes,
he was loyal
yes,
to his
yes,
friends.
Yes, yes, yes. He didn't want to tell anyone. He was even a regime because of it, he was a strong. He was refusing to other people's students' name. That is an to torture him more and more, and then because of that, and many times torture him, and he was very strong person, and even because of Akbar, many times because of other prisoners, they did something wrong, Akbar was tortured, and because of other prisoners. And regime took him to say, torture them more because other prisoners. But he was many prisoners. They loved him because he was a strong person. And then they know him today as a brave student and brave freedom fighter. In Iran, they know him.
Yes. And Nazrin, you have written in your book, Ideas and Lashes, that your brother was also the most generous of prisoners. Whenever the family would send him money, Akbar would turn around
yes.
and share his money with all of his
yes.
cellmates. And he only kept a little
yes.
for himself. So even after all of the pain he went through, your brother can be remembered
yes.
as a generous prisoner and that he gave his life
yes.
for democracy and freedom.
Yes. When even he was sick because of torture regime gave at him at the prison, he was sick and he need that money. For himself, he didn't want to keep that money for himself. And then he was giving that money to other prisoner. And then always he was doing that to favor to other prisoner. And we didn't know. And even those prisoners, they didn't know who is giving that money to them. Or by other prisoner, he was... giving that favor to other prisoners. And Akbar always doing to, he was a great man. He was everybody, all prisoners, they know him. Now they know him as a great human and humane person. And He was a unique person. He had a great heart. He was a real man, and he wasn't just only brave person. He had a great heart, and he was a true man to help a prisoner. And then he stood not only against Islamic government of Iran. He helped to people they need his help, and he was a real man, care about other people they need him. That is a life. That is being a true people. To when they need him, he was for them. I hope everybody be like him, the life, and when we need people care about each other, life, and it's going to be heaven.
And now, Nazreen,
the world is going to be heaven if we care about other people. The world is going to be heaven.
Yes, the most painful day of your life was July 30th, 2006, when you heard the horrible news that your brother had died in Evin prison. But what happened as a result of his death is that the President of the United States at that time, George W. Bush, invited you and your brother Manachur to the White House, and you were able to be recognized for what your brother did to fight for freedom in Iran. Isn't that right?
My brother Manachur was in over there, and I didn't go. He had the honor by President George Bush, and that is a big honor for us and our family. And always. We are proud of, our brother Manachur. I wasn't over there. But I didn't get your, if you want to, I didn't get your question. Do you want to anything else? Sorry.
Yes, Nazreen. Your family was honored by President Bush for what your brother Akbar did in prison in Iran. And they dedicated a plaque to him. But as you're thinking about presidents, you are a very strong supporter of President Trump, who is not appeasing the mullahs of Iran like Obama did. He is not giving the regime money. He is standing up for the people of Iran. And President Trump has said in a tweet, and this was a year or so ago, such respect for the people of Iran as they try to take back their corrupt government. You will see great support from the United States at the appropriate time. This is what Donald Trump does. He goes to Twitter, and he stands up for the people of Iran. Let me ask you, as an Iranian-American, do you believe that President Trump is going to help the people of Iran get freedom and democracy?
Yes, of course. I personally support the ideas of President Donald Trump, and I support his degree, and I support the ideas of putting more restriction in on sanction, and then putting more in our immigration system, and even sanction in Iranian system for ensure more security for our American people and for Iranian people, and he's supporting the Iranian people. I love my President Donald Trump. He's supporting Iranian people, and Iranian people love him. You know, dear Randy, you know how much Iranian people you have a communication with Iranian people. You know how much Iranian people inside of Iran love him. And if you know he's supporting Iranian people inside of Iran, and many Iranian people inside of Iran believe him. They call him Prophet Donald Trump. I am happy with President Donald Trump's decree for our safety and for Iranian, even for Iranian safety. I support our President Donald Trump strongly in his campaign. I am totally faithful to him, and I will trust him. And I want to thank President Donald Trump for being a man of, you know, your word and trying to keep us safe.
You're exactly right, Nazreen. He is a man that has kept his promise. The economy is booming. He has brought back jobs. He has cut the different taxes against the companies that had to leave before. He has tore up the Iranian nuclear deal. He refuses to do what Obama did by giving sanctions relief money, because the Iranian regime used all of that money to support their terrorist activities. So Donald Trump is taking a firm stand against the government. With the increased sanctions we've talked about, he is putting a heavy fist down on them. He is draining the pocketbooks. And through all of this, do you believe, through all of these tough sanctions, Nazreen, that it will cause so much problems economically in Iran that the people will rise up like they did a couple of years ago and overthrow this regime?
Yes.
Do you believe that will happen?
Yes, it will happen. It will happen. When the sanction happen, inside of Iran, people will rise up, and against the Islamic government of Iran, then they're going to defeat Islamic government of Iran. It will happen. We will see it.
Yes, it's been 40 years since the Iranian Revolution took place, and the Ayatollah Khomeini seized power in February of 1979. So it's 40 years, Nazreen, and I agree with you that one day the people of Iran will be able to walk down the streets of Tehran, to dress the way they want to believe the things they want to. There will be democracy and freedom in Iran, and a big reason for that will be because of our faithful President Donald Trump. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes. Now they are supporting President Donald Trump. Now we are going to see it.
Amen. Amen. Well,
amen.
I want to say thank you so much, Nazreen, for sharing your memories of Akbar, your brother, as we honor him on this program today. And thank you for your support of President Trump and all that you're doing to see freedom and democracy come to your homeland. And I want to say thank you for spending this time with us this morning. Do you have any final words to say to the people, maybe about your book, where they can find your book and read your book?
Book is Explibers and Amazon. They can find it. And then the book is Ideas and Lashes. And I want the final sentence is, I love my President Donald Trump, and I will do anything to support him. And my wish is, two wishes I have it. One, to overthrow is Islamic government of Iran. And another thing, my President Donald Trump be reelected in 2020. And I know he will be, and And freedom, I want, freedom is not free. And we should fight and fight for that. And that reason, I'm going to fight for freedom and liberty. God bless you. God bless our country, America, and God bless our President Donald Trump. Thank you so much, dear Randy, and thank you for all time you gave it to me.
Well, and thank you too, Nazarene, and thank you for being such a strong voice for the Iranian people and a strong supporter of our president.
You're
and
welcome.
God bless you, and thank you for coming on the program today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a wonderful day.
Amen. That is my good friend Nazarene Mohammadi. Her book is entitled Ideas and Lashes. Ideas and Lashes. And it is the story of her brother in prison. It is the story of what he wrote in his diary. It is a painful book to read, but we need to read a book like Nazarene's book about her brother, because when we see the suffering of the Iranian people and what they have endured for democracy and freedom, it will make us appreciate our freedom so much more. You cannot read a book like this without feeling the pain of her brother. Very graphic descriptions, but remember, her brother was very strong, very generous to the prisoners. He did not give up the list of names of the others that participated in the demonstrations. He was loyal to his friends. He was generous and very strong. And this is what goes on in Evin prison for anyone that dares to raise their voice against the government. When I think about the day that Iran will be free, I think about Moses and the children of Israel and the great Exodus, when God brought the plagues down on the people of Egypt and against the ruler of Egypt. The message of Moses to the Pharaoh of Egypt was, "Let my people go, that they may worship me." And this is a song right now by Matt Redman that is a plea, that is a command in many ways of God to the supreme leader of Iran. Let my people go.
your sons and daughters got trafficked in the night, broken by the fight. Rescue your sons and daughters. Another stolen life, another hidden cry. These are your sons and daughters got trafficked in the night, broken by the fight. We hear the cry, let my people go. Let my people go. Light a fire in the dark.
Powerful worship music of Matt Redman and Let My People Go. My constant prayer for the Iranian people is hope and freedom. I dedicate my programs, the books that I write, to their freedom. I write their stories. Akbar Mohammadi's story is in my book, The Cross in the Desert, and you can read more about his suffering and what he stood for in Nazarene's book, Ideas and Lashes. I want to talk to us in the final minutes of the program today about the future of Iran. When you hear about the pain and the suffering, the injustices, sometimes we can so much concentrate and focus on the present problem that we fail to see that God has a future for the people of Iran. And you know, that is my hope, that God will bring about freedom and justice in my lifetime, that I can see the people of Iran have the freedom that they've been fighting for, struggling for, and praying for. In our book that Manoush and I wrote together a few months ago, entitled Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, in the last chapter of the book, I talk about the future of Iran. And the title of that chapter is 40 Years Later. What is the future of Iran? You might be asking, what is it? There is a very obscure promise, and yet many theologians and prophecy scholars have seized upon this promise. It's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, verses 35 through 39, where God makes a promise to the people of Persia, the people of Elam, as they were called at that time. He says, I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy its king and official. And I've done programs on the future of Iran, about the prophecy in Jeremiah 49. I don't have the time to flush all of that out for you, but suffice to say, this is that prophecy, besides Ezekiel chapter 38, that talks about Iran and the future for the Iranian people. I want to read to you this last chapter in my book to give you an understanding that God does indeed have a future for the people of Iran. On February 1st, 1979, millions of desperate Iranians filled the streets of Tehran, welcoming their new king from exile. The Ayatollah Khomeini stepped down from a 747 jumbo jet that had just arrived at the airport from Paris, and he proclaimed himself as the new leader of the Islamic Revolution. Iranians were emotionally overwhelmed, and they were very hopeful that the Ayatollah would bring them the true freedom that they had been longing for now since the Shah and his family had went into exile into Egypt. It has been 40 years since that historic moment in time, and Iranians have gotten everything but true freedom. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been one of the most fierce, totalitarian governments in the Middle East. It has been 40 long and cruel years of oppression under a dictatorship that has replaced freedom with slavery to an ancient system of Sharia law. Listen carefully. There has been 40 years of lies and deception, 40 years of suppression of human rights with no religious freedom and no freedom of speech, 40 years of executions as the penalty for speaking out and disagreeing with the government, 40 years of women being covered and veiled and lashed for failure to adhere to the Islamic dress code, 40 years of the reign of mullahs who rule your life from the cradle to grave. However, during the winter uprising of 2017, when Iranian protesters took to the streets in 70 cities demanding that the government get out of Syria and start taking care of them, there was a haunting chant that could be heard summing up the angry mood of the people. The people are paupers, while the mullahs live like gods. That was the chant. The Iranian economy was in a death spiral due largely to the newly imposed sanctions by the Trump administration. This is back in 2017, 2018. Instead of sharing the wealth with the people that was gained by the sanctions relief from the Obama administration, the mullahs continued financing their terrorist connections and lived like kings while children slept in cardboard boxes out on the streets. Inflation, poverty, and homelessness saturated the landscape, resulting in an increase of suicide from depression and despair. Iranians were desperate for freedom and longed for the glory days when the Persian people flourished under kings who treated the people with tolerance and justice. If you are a friend of Iranians, very soon you will discover that they have a great respect and admiration for a very famous king in history. That king was King Cyrus, who founded Persia by uniting the Iranian tribes of the Medes and the Persians. Although Cyrus, who was known as a great conqueror, he was most well known for his tolerance and magnanimous attitude toward those he defeated. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, he was greeted by the grateful cheers of the Jewish community. They welcomed him as a liberator. Cyrus is recognized from the pages of the Bible as being compassionate to the Jews and allowing them to return to their homeland to rebuild their temple. Respect and tolerance were the outstanding qualities of Cyrus, who is credited for creating, quote, the first charter of human rights known to mankind. Every October 29th, thousands of Iranians pay respect at his grave, celebrating King Cyrus Day. And of course, the government does everything they can to stop that celebration. But Persian history is credited with this man known as King Cyrus. Well, Iranians are desperately searching for a leader, a liberator, a king like King Cyrus, who will free them from the oppression and tyranny and return their land to the glory of the Persian Empire. Although not as famous as the ancient King Cyrus, and we've been talking about this, Nazreen and I spoke about this, President Donald Trump has reached out to the Iranian people, recognizing their right to have a free homeland once again. The Trump administration has been supportive to Iranians and confronting the regime with their serious human rights violations. Iranians have responded with hope that Trump will be that world leader who will create the right circumstances for the overthrow of this evil regime that has oppressed and enslaved them for the past 4 years. They are rising up and hoping and beginning to believe again that there is a future for Iran, a future with the promise of freedom and democracy. However, the burning question that must be answered in everything I've said, is there a bright future for the Iranian people, or will it be 40 more years of death and destruction? Good question. Well, the key to answering this very important question is to first recognize that God is sovereign. He is in control. He is the Lord of history. Scripture tells us the answer to this burning question. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Praise the name of God forever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. Daniel 2:20 declares that God is sovereign and that he is the one who sets up kings and kingdoms and removes them for his providential purposes. Satan is not in control of this planet. But rather, as Scripture plainly teaches, God has the final say to the course of world events. Now, as I've mentioned to you before, there is one powerful and insightful passage of Scripture in the Old Testament written more than 2,500 years ago that really has tremendous insight into the future of Iran. I believe that this Scripture may very well hold the prophetic key for the future of all Iranians. Prophecy expert Bill Salas, who is the author of the exciting prophetic book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, comments exclusively on this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 49. Mr. Salas has studied this prophecy and in depth and offers what I believe is an exciting and thought-provoking revelation of Iran's future. I want you to be familiar with this portion of Scripture. And so I want to take the time now to just read it to you, because that way it's in your thinking and that you will know that what I'm saying is just not my opinion, but others who have looked carefully at this passage of Scripture. Let's read together. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might, and I will bring upon Elam the four winds from their four quarters of heaven, and I will scatter them to all those winds, and there will be no nation to which those driven out of Elam will not come. I will terrify Elam before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them. My fierce anger, declares the Lord. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam and destroy their kings and officials, declares the Lord. But in the latter days, I will restore the fortunes of Elam. Now, what is going on here is Jeremiah is saying something very powerful. He's issuing prophecies concerning Elam around the year 596 BC. Jeremiah wrote about Elam a decade before his contemporary Ezekiel prophesied about Persia in Ezekiel 38. Modern-day Iran is comprised of ancient Elam and Persia. Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the Lord declares. The Elamites were warlike people and expert archers, according to Genesis 14 and Isaiah 22. Jeremiah predicts that Iran will suffer the fate of a broken bow. Now, you take the historical prophecy of Jeremiah 49 about the archers. God did break their bow, but I believe it has a future reference to another enemy of God that hates Israel. We know that as the Iranian regime. And God says he is going to stop the nuclear program of the Iranian government, that the government won't be able to launch their missiles at their enemies, namely Israel. He declares, I believe, in this prophecy that Iran will be struck at the foremost place of its might, and that could infer an attack upon its nuclear program. One of Iran's most strategic and vulnerable nuclear targets is the Bushehr nuclear reactor located in the heart of ancient Elam. And presently, Israel has dual concerns about Iran's military intentions. They are concerned about Iran's quest to obtain nuclear weapons and the rogue regime's obsession with developing their long-range missiles. This prophecy has so much to say about God taking out this government. This prophecy talks about scattered to the four winds, referring to the refugees that have had to flee to other countries because of the oppression of this government. But the promise of Jeremiah 49 is after everything is said and done and God has removed this regime, has stopped their nuclear progress, has protected his people in Israel, that he will restore the fortunes of Elam to the people of Iran. It is a wonderful promise. I wish I had more time to detail what is being said here. I've done that on other programs, but know this, the people of Iran are mentioned in the Bible, Jeremiah 49, Ezekiel 38. The people of Iran have a future in God's program, and that future begins by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Iran is the greatest underground house church movement of faithful Iranians who have left Islam and have embraced their hope and freedom in Jesus Christ. And so what we need to do is to pray for the freedom of the Iranian people and to pray that one day, very soon, he will bring freedom and democracy to this very, very troubled nation. And so that's why I do these programs, is to be a voice for Iranians and to urge my friends that listen to this program to be a voice of hope and freedom in praying for the Iranian people, praying for the underground house church movement, praying for Iranian refugees scattered throughout all of the world. They want to return to their homeland. It breaks their heart to have to leave their homeland. All they want is freedom. And the message of the cross in the desert is I speak hope and freedom to Iran, and that hope and freedom comes in knowing Jesus. And so I want to thank my good guest, Nazreen Mohammadi, today for sharing about her brother Akbar. And I want to thank you specifically for spending time with me and hearing the story of the Iranian people and the future that they have one day. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.
My hope is built. Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ.
Love.